Well, he's, Brother Doug says, I was one step shy myself, said vote for Bush.
Thank you, Brother Preacher. Well, it's good to be here. Certainly appreciated that message, didn't you? My. If I knew he was going to call on me next, I would have yielded my time for Brother Phil. We needed that, didn't we? Sure did. Amen. Let me say, I appreciate Brother Melvin, you asked me to come down. Appreciate you and Brother Doug. Appreciate the church here. And it's been a blessing from God to be here and just feel the presence of God and be amongst God's people.
I want to land it before you start. Just one thing. Don't worry about this tent. I have been assured that it's a rope-built tent and it can withstand high winds by the owner. And he's in charge. Amen. Go ahead.
Thank you. I want to read a verse or two out of the book of Matthew chapter 3. If you want to stand for just a second or two, I'll be a little brief with what I have to say. But I sure do appreciate the blessings of God. The singing's been good. The messages has been good. It's been food for my soul. In the book of Matthew chapter 3, in verse 1, it says, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiments of camel hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Father, we thank you for the privilege to be right here this morning in this place of worship. We thank you, dear God, for the service this far. Now, Lord, we're conscious of what Jesus said when he said, without me, you can't do nothing. Lord, we need your touch upon our lives. Pray, Heavenly Father, you'll direct us and help us to say that would honor you above everything else in this service today. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. We make our prayer. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. In these verses that I read in our midst today, it talks about a man by the name of John the Baptist. Talks about John in verse 2 saying in verse 1, talks about his preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Verse 2 said, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And down in verse 5 and verse 6, and that is the two verses that I'm really interested in. It says in verse 5, then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea, all regions round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, I like that, don't you? I mean, you know, when it talks about people, and there was a host of people that did this, repented, confessed their sins, and old John's over there baptized them. Now, the Bible said that he come on the scene of preaching repentance. But, you know, when it gets down there and it talks about that, then went out to him Jerusalem. Pretty good territory. Pretty good number of people. And it goes on to say in all Judea and all the regions round about. That takes in another great big territory. A host of people. So there had to be, I think, something happened after John preached to move these people towards God. What I want to say right there is this. I believe that there was a great moving of God. Wouldn't you say that? I've fought for the longest, and I believe this in my heart. I would have never got right with God if God hadn't moved on my soul. I don't believe as anybody ever got right with God until God moves on them. Wakes them up and heads them towards Calvary, and they'll repent and get right with God. For just a few minutes today, I'd like to just speak to us on this thought. Out of those verses, I feel like there was a moving of God there. I want to speak to us on this thought on some things that'll bring a moving of God. I thought last night and this morning, we need a lot of things in our country. I mean, a lot of things that we need in our country. But one of the greatest things that we need, I think, is a fresh visit of God. I'm simply saying that we need for God to pay us a visit and do some things for us. I don't know if any of you can, or if you're, probably I'm in one or two more a little older than the rest of you, but back in the 40s, I was saved in 1947, but in the 40s and in the 50s, on up into the early 60s, there was a moving of God across our country. A moving of God across our country. In the revival that I got saved in, it run about 3 weeks. And they baptized about 25 or 30 down in the old river right in front of the church. But you know, I was listening to a preacher two or three years ago. I'd been down to Durham Hospital and coming back home. This dear old man of God said something, and I've often thought of what he said. He said that the generation that's following us, that's coming on, had never seen a real moving of God. Now think of it for a few minutes. He said they had never seen or never had the privilege to experience the real moving of God. That stirred my soul inside of me. I can remember how it was the night I got saved, and I'd like for the young generation to have the same privilege, wouldn't you? But I really believe that there is some things that God honors and God will move when it happens. You say, well now, preacher, what are you saying? I want to say that I believe this from my soul, that Holy Ghost preaching will bring a moving of God. Now, don't misunderstand me.
I'm not talking about that you have to jump benches and run and scream and holler. I run a little bit myself every once in a while, don't you? But I'm simply, when I say old time Holy Ghost preaching, I believe when we say that, we're simply saying that when we just steal away off out yonder somewheres and get along with God and tell God we've got to have, as Brother Phil was talking about a while ago, some corn to feed our little sheep and just get off out there in the woods or in the closet or in the basement and get along with God and let God fill us. Fresh and anew with something from heaven. And then come to the house of God and preach and preach and preach again. And thank God that a while God will come through and God will bless the church and do some things for us. You say, well, in this preaching, what's involved in it? Well, according to this Bible right here, it's all right to preach on repentance. Look at it in verse 2. It said, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Would you differ with me if I was to say this? If it's all right for John to preach on repentance, I think it's all right for us to preach on it, don't you? I remember an old preacher one time by the name of Charlie McDaniel. I went to listen at him. I loved him, and I love God's men. I like to hear it preached. I've enjoyed this the best this week. It's been food for my soul. But I went over to Sandy Level Baptist Church, saved, why sure. But I went over to hear old Brother Charlie preach, and God help, he cut every limb I was sitting on off. And the Holy Ghost come by and said, why don't you get in the altar and just straighten out some things? And I think to myself, oh no, not in front of this crowd. I ain't going to get up there in front of this crowd and make a fool out of myself. But you know one thing? When I pulled in the driveway, Brother Steve, at the house, the Holy Ghost said, you better do it. And I got down that grass. I turned the front yard. And begged God to straighten me out. You say, what happened? I tell you right now, it don't hurt nobody if you walked away from God. To make things right with him. Hey, God will come through at a while. I'll tell you right now, it's like one feller said one time, if we'd repent right good, and get right with God, you'd go looking for the devil. I say, bless his name today. Hallelujah. There is some things that we can do that'll bring a moving of God amongst us. I think I read this in the Bible where old Peter stood one day and preached and 5,000 souls got saved, got right with God. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. I don't believe everybody's saved, do you? But I'm just talking about, you see, here in this scene, old John was preaching over there and folks got to come in from all around confessing their sins and getting right with God, and God just moved in over there. I'd like for him to move in my church, wouldn't you? Hallelujah. I tell you right now, I'd go back and sit on the back pew for a month or two or maybe longer just to see God come in there and help us every once in a while. I bless his name. Let me move on. Would you agree with me that it takes preaching? You say, I don't know about that. Well, I believe I read this in the Bible where it said, and it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I want to stop right here and say, You push preaching out of our churches, you might as well close the door and go home and forget about it. Did you hear what I said? When you push preaching out, you might as well close the doors and forget about it. Hallelujah. I get sick of this entertainment outfit, don't you? And this performing outfit. Give me God. Hey, I say glory to God today. That's what got me in. There's an old preacher stood by the name of Kimsey Ball and looked us in the face and preached on hell so hot you could smell the smoke, and turn around and preach on heaven is the best thing I ever heard about. Amen. But now that's not all. Hold up your hand when my time gets out. I didn't look at that. But you see, preaching has to be involved in that. And God will come around after a while. But I'll tell you something else. Secondly, scripture praying will bring God around. I said scripture praying will bring God around. Listen to this. Matthew 21 and verse 22 said, "And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive." Now excuse this. Let me use something just a little personal here. My daddy got killed when I was about almost six years old. And there's a boy older than me and two girls younger than me. But I've seen my mother, Brother Doug and Brother Melvin, I've seen my mother about every night get us children around, and she'd get the Bible down and read that Bible to us, and then she'd say, "Children, gather around here. We're going to pray." I've heard her little voice say, "God, you give them to me." She's talking about her young'uns. "You give them to me, and I'm going to give them back to you. I want you to save them, God." You say, "Well, what was the outcome?" You're looking at one of them. My brother's saved. My two sisters are saved. Glory be to God. She believed God. I put it like this. If you don't believe him, why pray? But when God puts something on your soul and you pray about it, mark her off, honey. If it's according to the will of God, he'll come through at a while. One night you listen to me, about 9 or 9:30 in an old-fashioned revival in Big Laurel Church, the Holy Ghost come by me and said, "How'd you like to get in God's family?" Do you know, before then, in that same meeting, I'd went to that old church and listened to that preacher preach, and conviction in my soul, get up and go back up the road to my family's and look up at the heavens and say, "God, when are you going to do something? When are you coming my way?" But you know one thing? Thank God. One night about 9:30, the Holy Ghost come back by and said, "I said, how would you like to get in God's family?" That's one of the greatest things ever happened to me. I had the privilege to go back this past Sunday's homecoming, up there where my mom and dad is buried. And they called for an altar prayer. And I went back to that same spot where God saved me. I like to go back there, don't you? I mean, just hang around there for a few minutes. I'm trying to say, thank God, that prayer, scripture praying. I mean, just believe God, and God will come through at a while. Right briefly, before my mother went to heaven 3 years ago, she was in Elderbury Rest Home at Marshall. And there's an old gentleman in that rest home, a preacher, by the name of Clarence Robinson. Every time I'd go see Mom, I'd go see old Brother Clarence. He is on another wing over there. I'd go see him. Every time I'd go see him, he'd hand me a little piece of paper. He'd say, "Landon, check this out." He said, "I found this in the Bible. Don't you check it out." I went up there one time in the winter, sitting in there in his room, and I sat down and talked with him for a little while, and every time I'd start to go, he'd say, "Let's pray." But he said, "Before we pray this time, I'm going to tell you something." He said, "I sat here the other night," I'm talking about scripture praying will bring God around. He said, "I sat here the other night, and I was fixing to go to bed," and he said, "I told the Lord, in my prayer, Lord, that little old bed's hard. And he said, it's cold. And he said, just tell you the truth, I just dread to go to bed. But he said, you know something, Landon? He said he always wore overalls. He said, I put my overalls off. And he said, I put my pajamas on. And he said, I turned that cover back. And he said, I reached over and cut the light off. And I laid down that bed, and he said, unto God. He said, I felt like I laid down on an electric blanket. And he said, when I laid my head back on that pillar, he said, God said, Clarence, I just come by to warm your bed for you tonight. I just come by to let you know that I love you. Hey, you... I wonder what that old man of God done that night. I'll assure you of one thing. He probably didn't sleep none for the next 2 hours. He told me I hadn't had an experience like that in a long time. Hey, glory be to God. I say that scripture praying will bring God around after a while. Amen. We need to get back to that. God ain't going on a journey. He ain't closed up the heavens that he won't listen to us. I talked to him this morning. I told Phil and him this morning. I woke up about 1 o'clock, dozed back off, woke up at 2, and woke up at 3, and hadn't been back to sleep since. God help, I laid there, and I thought about that service last night. I thought about the service yesterday. I thought about what a blessing. To live in a country and get to come together like this, with brothers and sisters in the Lord, you know, and worship a true and a holy God. We need a lot of things in our country. I'll tell you one thing, we need a fresh visit of God. Let me say thirdly to us today, there's something else I think we need. And that is, and I think it'll bring a move into God, and that is spiritual worship. Come on now. Now, while I've got you saying amen, look at me. Would you disagree with this? That a lot of times we ain't doing nothing but just parading the flesh around in the house of God. I get so ashamed of myself every once in a while. I get to thinking about God, Landon. Whoa, Landon, junk some of that stuff you've got. And get rid of it and get back to the true worship of God. Huh? Come on now. You see, the Bible said that God, John 4:24 said, that God is a spirit and they that worship him, watch this word, must. I heard a fellow say one time this year, inspector, state inspector, come to see him. He's inspecting his school. And he said he went from this room to that room, that room to that room. And the whole time he's going through there, he's writing down. And he said when he got through, he handed me a sheet. And in big letters, it said, you must. It's got to happen. If we worship God, we must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Briefly, while my time's still clicking, if you disagree with this, let's just still be friends. Huh? Come on. I'm talking about worshiping. We'll bring God around that a while. Now, I'm kindly partial to this, but that old gentleman that I had reference to a while ago, there was another fella in that church by the name of Jeff Davis, and don't say nothing about it, but there was a few rices in there that'd get carried away every once in a while. And I don't believe you could tuck a baseball bat and make them sit down. When God got on them, you might as well get out of their way and let them have at it. But let me give you this right briefly. Talking about worship. I found this and I kind of like it. It said worship is to quicken the conscience by the wholeness of God. Worship is to feed the mind with the truth of God. That's what Phil's talking about. Worship is to purge imagination by the beauty of God. Worship is to open the heart to the love of God. Worship is to devote the will to the purpose of God. Worship is all that we are, reacting rightly to all that He is. I'm telling you that real worship will bring a moving of God. Now, I didn't come to town on the last load of pumpkins. But I'm not the brightest light in the chandelier either. I thought I'd just help you a little bit. I'm like this one old fellow said one time, I did go to school, but you can't tell it. But I'll tell you one thing. I think when we get back to worshiping God, He'll come through, brother. Amen. I long for that, don't you? Yes, I'm honest with you. Yes, sir. There's been a many of a day I've went to church. Many of a night I've went to church and give anything if God just walk through there. Just walk through there. I'll tell you, 5 seconds with God will do more for you than a week without God. Let me give you just one more thought or whatever. But heartfelt praise will bring God around after a while. I don't know if any of you's ever seen any these old timers shout. My mama was one of them. And others, and I'm sure that you're, but some of them little old ladies carried little old bitty handkerchiefs. This is about half that big, you know? Just about half that big. And rule, you didn't have to pick a manger. You didn't have to push them, pull them. When God come through, they got on with it. I've got my eyes slapped a many of a time with a little old handkerchief. Them ladies are running up down the aisles shouting and praising God. You know one thing, just to be honest with you, bless God, I didn't like that when that happened. But I'll tell you, I'd look back on that and draw some strength from that today. I'd look back there and say, thank God for Mama. Thank God for Grandpa. I say, blessed be the name of God. Heartfelt praise will bring God around. This word's been mentioned here this morning. Some of them will say, some of this liberal outfit will say, well, what do you see? What do you know? I mean, what makes you praise God? I ain't going to hell. Glory to God. You look for me. I'll be over there when you get there. When the roll call's been made in heaven, Brother Doug, I'm going to answer, here am I. Hallelujah. I praise Him today that I don't have to go to hell. I praise Him today for the grace of God. Lord, have mercy. If me and Miss Rice drove over here this morning, I thought about it's by the grace of God I'm this far up the road. And one of these days, hallelujah, grace will home us on the other side. Well, I got to quit. I'm not through. I'll just quit. But let me give us this right here. I believe praise will bring God around that while. But I'll tell you something else in closing. I believe loving one another. Fellas, if I'm missing it, just tell me about it. But I've seen some of them old timers in our churches years back. They'd walk up in, put their arms around you. And they'd say, I'm going to tell you something. I sure do love you. Matter of fact, there's a lady. And I saw her daughter Sunday. Her name was Flossie Mae Lambert. She used to come back in the church where we were sitting back there, a bunch of us boys lost, going to hell. She'd say, children, I'll tell you something. I sure do love you. I couldn't shake that. I couldn't get away from that. That ring in my heart, I'd go to bed of a night and I'd hear that lady saying, I sure do love you. But then she'd say, I'll tell you about one that loves you more than I do. You know something? I believe if we as God's people, preachers, and the church should get back to loving one another, God will come by. If it's the Lord's willing, maybe tonight, but one night a week, boys, me and Miss Rice and my two daughters, we've got two daughters and two granddaughters and one grandson, but we get together and have a meal. Try to every week, one night a week. Watch the scene when we start to leave one another. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you, I love my family. And I love God's family. But when we start to leave, you know what we do? My girls, I mean grown women, I'm here tonight today to tell you something. I love them and kiss them just like I do my grandchildren. You know something? That's kept God, Doug, in our homes. Come on. I believe when we get back to the point where we love one another, God will come a-marching in our churches.
Amen.
I'd sure like to see that, wouldn't you?
Oh, yes.
I sure would.
Oh, yes. Thanks. Amen. Wasn't that a blessing? I'll tell you what, just stand up, just stand where you are and relax just a minute. We're going.